You're listening to Georgia on Drive in association with St. Francis Hospice. And I have a guest joining me in the studio today. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
I'm well, Georgia. Hello.
You're joining me from TrailNet, of course. Did you know you are my first guest on Drive, technically? I mean, I've had a lot of people over the phone, but it's been isolation for the last 7 months. It's very exciting to have someone with me.
I'm on it.
First off, the company you work with is TrailNet. They're based in Essex and London. They're focused on communities and encouraging and facilitating outdoor activities. Why is that so important to you?
Well, I've done sport all my life, I suppose, and I got to a certain point where I realised I was getting slower and slower. So I couldn't do much about myself, but I could certainly help other people. And I realised that a lot of people out there just needed some support and help and advice to become more active, and especially with a love of cycling, that was kind of what we decided to focus on.
Yeah, as you mentioned there, you're a big cycler yourself, and that's what the company focuses a lot. How do you do that? How can you help people with cycling?
Well, we started off back in 2006, and at the time it was more competitive. So we organised some competitive mountain bike racing, but then we realised that was quite a very small niche. And we looked more at encouraging the wider public to take part in cycling. So we started up a cycle hire operation at Thorndon Country Park, which had been running now since 2008. And we also started up some health rides, group health rides, where we invited people to come along and do some weekday rides to improve their sort of general fitness and health. And that's grown from no riders for the first few weeks. We've got sort of about 100 registered riders now, and can have anything up to nearly 30 going out in one go for a ride.
Wow. Has that been able to continue through lockdown?
Most of it, except when the park was closed. There have been various restrictions, but being an organised sporting activity, we've been able to continue it pretty much all the way through.
Well, that's great. And I know you do lots to involve all ages, disabilities, all sorts of things, don't you? How are you able to help people that might struggle in normal circumstances?
So we've been very lucky with people with disabilities. We have been given from various sources, especially Essex County Council, have donated quite a significant range of adapted trikes, which are suitable for use with people who've got balance, coordination problems, learning disabilities, etc. So they've been fantastic to help people who couldn't ride a two-wheel bike. So we've had them available for individual use or a number of group rides that we take people out on. So groups come to us and we sort them out for the appropriate trikes and bikes. And they cover all ages from 3-4 years of age up to full-size adults. We got a couple of two-seater trikes, which are fantastic, very popular. One of them's even got a motor on it. So,
oh, wow.
if you've got someone who you need to support who probably can't pedal unassisted, they can ride that, do as much or as little pedaling as they want to, and go out for a nice ride.
Well, that sounds great. Do you find you get a lot of people maybe sort of apprehensive to cycle? Maybe they're not really wanting to do the exercise, but they get involved and then sort of come to love it?
Yeah, we've had a few cases where people have come along and they've been very reluctant to get on the trike, and it's sometimes even taken 2 or 3 visits before they even got on the trike. Mm. But once they get riding, I think they appreciate the freedom that gives them and the physical activity. And we've had people who've been coming to us for years and just enjoying the trike riding.
I have to say, I love cycling, but I did fail my cycling proficiency when I was like 9. it's been a mark on my CV for a long, long time. I'm still adamant that I shouldn't have failed it, but whatever, we won't get into that argument now. I know you do a lot of different activities as well. I want to talk about geocaching particularly. Can you explain what that is a little bit? Because it sounds very exciting.
Okay, so geo from the earth and caching from a sort of a secret store. Basically, they are generally some kind of a box or container that's hidden, and there are literally millions of them hidden in different places around the world. They have a GPS coordinate for their location, which is published online. And then with use of a GPS unit, or nowadays with a smartphone, you can download those coordinates and you can go and find them in the woods. So it's a great family activity. It varies. Some are tiny. I mean, some you wouldn't give the game away to, but some are absolutely minuscule. They're called micro caches. Mm. They might be the size of a nut or a bolt. They have very little in them, obviously. but generally, they'll have some kind of a log, so a notebook where you can record that you found it. The bigger caches will have some little toys, tokens, giveaway kind of things which people can come along. And the rule is if you take something out, you put something back in.
Oh, that's such a lovely
idea.
So
people who are keen will take, they'll go along, I don't know, without naming them, but something like little McDonald's toys or similar. They'll come along with some of those and they'll swap out what's already in there.
That sounds great. What a good activity for the whole family as well. And it's basically like a big treasure hunt.
It's brilliant. It's a technical treasure hunt. And the great thing about it with the whole family is you've got the younger children, it's a treasure hunt, so they get the excitement of that. Mm-hmm. The older children, it's very much, give me the GPS, Mum. You know, I'll work it out for you. Because you see the parents just staring at it, what do I do? And the kids grab it off them within 30 seconds, they've got it working without any instructions.
That's great. I used to love doing that sort of thing when I was little, like looking at maps and sort of finding things. And I never did my DOV or anything. So I would have loved something like that.
Some people get really addicted by it. They travel all over the country, all over the world, finding these caches.
That's so exciting. What a clever idea and way to get, as you say, to get everyone involved. Now, talking about treasure hunts, I've had a little idea. It's a bit mental, but basically I thought I'd do a treasure hunt for you now. Now, originally this was going to be with mini little bikes, little Playmobil bikes from when I was little, because obviously TrailNet is very involved with cycling. I couldn't find them. So we have done other outdoors activity things, and we have wildlife hidden, toy wildlife, I should point out. We have toys hidden around the studio. I'm going to go and play some music and then we will be back talking to Jeff in a little bit. We'll see if he found any exciting things around the studio, all socially distanced, of course. You don't need to come behind my side of the desk, so we can stay socially distanced and everything. We'll talk about it after, and we've got a very exciting project to talk about after, upcoming around the Brentwood area. In the meantime, I'm going to play some Miley Cyrus. This is Midnight Sky on Phoenix FM.
Drive on Phoenix FM, brought to you in association with St. Francis Hospice, doing more than you think.
And I am joined by Jeff Fletcher from TrailNet, helping people get outside more, and they're doing lots of great things. Now, before we get on to a very exciting project, Jeff, I wanted to check in about the treasure hunt. We were talking about geocaching before the break, and I set you the task of finding some woodland animals that I'd hidden around the studio. How did you do?
I think we did okay.
You were very good.
Found 10 of them. They were incredibly well hidden.
Yeah, they were just perched, weren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, well, we've got some hedgehogs there and some ducks and some deer. Things that you see regularly when you go out on walks and cycles and things. I have to say, I love having a little look at nature whenever I'm out on my walks. I don't know how I'm still so excited to see the deer or the squirrels or something every time I go out on a walk, given that I've walked pretty much every day in lockdown. But it never ceases to interest me. So you did very, very well. I was impressed with how fast you found them all. Clearly you're very good at geocaching and things like that. Now we've also been talking about how TrailNet helps facilitate getting people outdoors more, and I wanted to ask you, what are some of your favorite tracks, or are there any secret routes around Brentwood and Essex in general that you'd recommend?
Well, there's probably a lot more than people realize. Unfortunately, not all of them are kind of official routes. Officially, you're only supposed to off-road ride on bridleways. And if you've ridden on bridleways, you'll know that, first of all, they tend to be a bit disconnected. And secondly, they tend to get rather chewed up by horses. So half the year they're... But there are some routes. I mean, we're going to talk about Barrett Wood in a minute. That's a lovely route to go through. Just behind the old Ford headquarters, there's a Wally Gap, which is quite an exciting downhill of sort of half a mile or so. And over the last year or so, people have put in some crazy jumps and stunts if you're young or crazy enough to do those. But if not, still some quite exciting downhills there. It's a whole thing. It's an adventure of finding, connecting up the routes for our rides. Because if you go riding every week, taking out three or four rides, you need some variety, and that does get a battle. But the great thing is you can connect up. We do rides that go all the way up to Haverin, up to sort of Dagenham Park, down into Cranham, out Billericay Way. So there are the routes there. You just need to find where they are. And that's part of what we're trying to do, is to promote those routes and encourage people to use them.
Yeah, absolutely. And where would you recommend, if someone wanted to look up a route in advance and check where they were going, where would you recommend they did that?
Well, if we have a Cycle Brentwood website, which we set up to help sort of try promote cycling. There are a couple of sort of circular routes on there that people can take a look at. That's one way to do it. Or you can contact us and say, you know, I live in X and I'd like to do a circular route. Contact us through the website and we'll be happy to give you some advice. Or come along to Thorndon and join some of our group rides, and then you'll see them firsthand. But we're always happy to help and advise.
Well, that sounds great. And you mentioned Barrackwood there. That is something that obviously is a very exciting project going on at the moment. I know you're working with Cycle Brentwood as well for a new pathway. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so we've had a sort of proposed network of paths all across the borough for a few years now, but they're very difficult to get in place because they involve various permissions. There's a lot of cost involved. So although they're all mapped out and a lot of them can be used, they're not official, they're not surfaced, etc. But one of those routes was a route from Thorndon Country Park, which I'm sure most listeners will know, across to the old Ford headquarters.
Yes.
And at the moment, if you want to travel between those two and don't know where you're going, you end up going down the main road, Eagle Way, the Avenue, which isn't a great road for walking or cycling along. But there's a nice alternative on the south side, which is Barrack Wood, which is a historic piece of woodland that gets its name from its use by the military over the last couple of hundred years.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. And if you go in there, you'll see some earthworks where people have, well, the military have used for manoeuvres, for trenches, etc., for firing ranges and the like. But it's a beautiful piece of woodland. There are a couple of unofficial ones. One's an old vehicle track through there and there's another track, but neither of them... You can ride them if you know what you're doing. You've got a mountain bike and you're quite mobile, but they do involve getting over logs and round tree roots, etc. Mm-hmm. So for a long time, we wanted to put a decent route through those woods. And when the Ford headquarters site, we wanted to go through that site around the back of the site to link up with Worley Gap, where all these lovely jumps and exciting trails are. And with the opening or with the redevelopment of the Ford site, it's given us the opportunity to talk to the developers about getting the link through their site, which they do seem quite positive to at the moment. And it's been discussed with the council. But we also want to get a proper path in between Thorndon and Barrack Wood. So it's something we've mapped out. We've discussed it with the park rangers. Picking up this old vehicle track, then resurfacing it is the plan, about a 1 kilometre route. So it takes you all the way from the Lion Gate at Thorndon Park, along the bridleway behind the cottages, which people who've used that know is gets very muddy and almost impassable during the winter months, across Childerditch Lane and then through the woods to the Ford site. So we've costed it out. We're talking about £65,000 to put in a properly surfaced, packed granite path through there with signage and some interpretation with the history of the woods and maybe some benches in the middle so people can stop halfway through and sit down and, you know, contemplate the surroundings.
Well, that all sounds great, and particularly the historic nature of it. I'm always very into my history, so that sounds really interesting. I know you're currently working out the details with the planning permission, but how can people help? I know you're fundraising currently. How can people help with that?
So we are fundraising. We have a big funding bid in for the bulk of the money to Veolia Environmental Trust, because we don't know how that's going to go, but we're fingers crossed that we'll get good news in the June timeframe. Part of that bid, though, we need to raise 10% of the money ourselves, so about £6,500. So we set up a crowdfunding campaign. We've raised about £1,500 from the general public, and we've been given a grant of £3,500 from the local Health and Wellbeing Board because of it, the benefits of the path for people to use it for accessing. So instead of jumping in their car and driving from the new development down to Thorndon, they can get on their bikes or they can walk through the woods. So at the moment, we're about £5,000. We need about another £1,500. So if anyone would like to donate, however small an amount, if you just do a search for crowdfunder and Barrack Wood, it should come up pretty quickly in your browser. And you can go on there and make a small donation.
That would be so amazing to be able to do. And best of luck, we're so close to getting the full amount now. So definitely, if you're able to help and you're interested in using that pathway as a walking route or as a cycling route.
Or for horses even.
Or for horses even, absolutely. Yes. There's so many different things this would be used for. It would be so great to get everyone involved and just help in however you can. Thank you so much, Jeff, for joining me today. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. First person back in the studio with me on the show. It's been great to have you on.
Thank you. It's my place in history.